Berserker. Mushroom Head. Disgust. Cult of Fire. Ghost. Buckethead. Slipknot. Tism. Gore. What do all of these bands have in common, other than increasing my chances of getting sued for copyright infringement and being part of my honeymoon lovemaking compilation playlist? Well, they all wear masks. And yes, you heard it here first. Masks are the foundation for the entire music industry. And I owe it to myself, the soon-to-be award-winning journalist on the soon-to-be award-winning podcast Butcho Death Trip, to have someone on who actually makes masks if we're talking about masks. But thankfully, Dan from Drop Bear Studios is in the house to talk to us about mask making, as well as some other stuff. Dan, thank you so much for joining us. Two questions straight off the bat. Number one, can you please let us in, give us some insight on the dark, seedy underbelly that is the Slipknot replica mask making world? And second, if you made a mask of Chris's nose from Slipknot, what would you put in that nose? Is that the hardest mask to make? What is the hardest Slipknot mask to make? That's four questions. Good luck.
Well, my journey in the Slipknot mask hobby started back in about 2010. My wife bought me one of the official All Hope Is Gone Corey masks off eBay, just one of the cheap sort of official ones that you can buy through them. From there, it sort of just exploded. I just started collecting a few more masks here and there of the band that I could find. And I found one of the original clown masks from the self-titled album on eBay, and I bought that, posted on Facebook, and somebody on there that I didn't know come up to me and was like, "Hey, where'd you get that mask?" And I was sort of said, "Found it on eBay." And they said, "Hey, why don't you come and join the group? We've got a group on Facebook called Slipknot Masks and Jumpsuits." And essentially I got in there, and there's a few people making replicas and stuff. But back then when we started, the replicas were pretty tame. Like, they weren't anything compared to what they are nowadays. They were very basic replicas. I started off just collecting them and buying the official masks and ones people made and just modifying and trying to make them look a little bit better, a little bit more close to the original ones. After, I think it was about 2 years, I had a Volume 3 clown, which was an official band. 2 years or so, it just rotted to a pile of goop. Essentially, the bandages were the only thing holding the mask together. And I kind of done a little bit of research and found out that all these official masks are, they don't use the best quality latex and the best quality material, so they don't tend to really last. And after I realized that, you know, that they don't last as long as I would love them to, and that if you were, that all the independent mask makers that are making masks using quality products like actual Monster Makers latex, which they use in the effects industry, and it tends to last a lot longer than the stuff that's mass produced. So I said to the wife one day, I wouldn't mind just trying to sculpt one and see how I go. I've always kind of been pretty artsy and just decided to give it a go. And yeah, from there, I've just refined the art and tried to get them as close to the originals as I could, like using all real leather and all the real bobs and bits that go on it and real zippers. And that was essentially the starting point for it.
When you say there are official masks, you mean like they were sold on slipknot1.com?
Yeah, yeah.
So are you telling me that Slipknot, a big band, would sell a cheap, inferior version of their masks on their website?
Well, essentially it goes down to mass production. They want something that is going to fit every person's head. It's going to be not too expensive that the average fan can go and buy. Where the ones I make, or the ones I was making, and all the guys in the Slipknot mask hobby, it started getting to the point where we wanted super accuracy, like as close as we could possibly get to the original masks. So that's why we kind of went all out and we use real leather instead of the actual leather being sculpted into the mask. For instance, if you bought the Chris Fenn mask, the Volume 3-1 or whatever it was, the official, all the leather and all the rivets and everything, like the whole mask is all that rubber, that same latex. So they just don't last.
Well, I've got so many questions going off that. Were you a big Slipknot fan or were you already into masks? Like, what made your wife buy you the mask?
Oh, I'm a huge Slipknot fan. Have been since I was 18. I'm 41 now. And I seen them the first time they came here in Sydney. And it was, yeah.
Year 2000?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. I was at that tour.
Yeah, I went to the Sydney show. That was unreal.
So it sounds like really humble, honest beginnings. How do you go about making a replica that looks exactly like the official one that, Corey or Chris or Clown might wear?
Well, the mask making process involves you sculpting with clay on a head form. So it's essentially a plastic head, the same size as an average human head. And then you sculpt on that with clay. And then you would make a mold of your sculpture out of plaster. And then you'd run the latex into the plaster mold, which creates your mask.
But from that, like, how do you make it look exactly the same? Like the dimensions or the colors or like the scarring?
Lots of reference pictures. If you look at my PC, I've got a massive, massive amount of Slipknot pictures of all, just of the masks from all different angles, live shots, magazines, and you just bring up as many of them as you can. And I, yeah, essentially just try and replicate it and get it as close to the pictures as I possibly can.
Yeah, most people use computers for pornography, but you seem to have found another use for it. So that's amazing.
I do also do 3D printing and stuff as well. So that's kind of, I can also, 3D print masks as well and make molds of them and go from there.
Were you already a handy person or is this all self-taught through the love of Slipknot?
I've always loved making stuff, but the mask making and that, I've never really had any lessons or anything. It's just, I've just bought them, like looked it up on YouTube, how to do it, just perfected me craft from there. And it's more just the love of the actual masks themselves and being a huge fan of Slipknot for so long.
So you start making these masks and I'm going to guess they start selling pretty well, yeah?
At first, the Slipknot mask hobby was pretty, it was a niche sort of hobby. There wasn't really many people in there. When I first joined in 2010, I believe there was about 16 people in that group, and that was total. And if you look now, there's probably 50,000 in each group, and there's more than one group. So, yeah, that's just ballooned as much as Slipknot's popularity has, essentially.
Basically, it's like a new season of Fortnite. Oh, new mask is coming out, new album, new mask. Can't wait to see the new mask. So it's much more of a focal point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the mask hobby, as soon as those mask pictures drop, everyone used to just go nuts.
Speaking of that community, though, like, what's it like? Because it seems a bit more political than from what I've heard.
Yeah, well, there's a few egos in the hobby, you know, a few guys that, I don't know, that I tried a long time ago to try and unite all the groups and say, look, we're all Slipknot fans. We're all into the same thing. We all collect the same masks. Can we just sort of drop the egos and get along?
Oh, Dan, you sweet, innocent, naive bastard. Can't we all just get along?
Just can't we all get along and, you know, we just have one big group and everyone be happy. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, well, the main thing that used to get in the groups that used to cause the division was people picking at other people's masks. For instance, I'd post a mask and mine would be quite accurate to the real one. And then you get some guy that's 15, 16, new to the hobby, hasn't really got much of an idea and just splashed a bit of paint on a mask. He'll post it going, oh, check out my new Corey mask. And then, you know, the elites in the hobby kind of attack them. And it used to get a bit old, like, come on, the guy's 16. He's got no idea. Or, you know, people asking something like, where do I get this mask? And people in the hobby that have been in the hobby for years would, you know, jump on him and be like, oh, you know, that's basic knowledge. Everyone should know that. It's like the guy just joined the hobby.
Yeah, we all start somewhere.
You get that in every hobby on Facebook, I guess. Like I've seen it in a lot of different groups.
Was business starting to pick up?
Well, up until this latest album, it had been pretty sort of average. Like I was mainly just selling to all the collectors in the hobby and stuff like that. But when that new Corey mask hit, everyone went mental for it. And I started sculpting it when they very first dropped the video, and I kind of just sat and slowly worked on it and waited for more pictures to come out of it and stuff like that. And then by the time I did it, I couldn't keep up. Like I was making five at a time and they were selling instantly, like crazily fast. Like, and then it got to the point where I was saying to people, like, I'm gonna release five of them, and I'll try and release them at different time zones so people have a bit of a chance at them. And I had people messaging me like not happy because they missed out, or, you know, you should sell me one before that guy. Like, I'll pay you more.
What are these people doing with the masks though? Like, what do they want with them?
More so collecting them and putting them on display. Well, that's what I do with a lot of my masks. I don't really wear a great deal of my masks. But a lot of people also like to dress up and go to the Slipknot concerts as well. There's tons of photos of even that Slipknot have shared of fans in masks and stuff in the crowd. And yeah, a lot of the guys go like all out and get the jumpsuits, and the jumpsuits are even 100% accurate. I mainly focus on masks.
Yeah, not getting into haberdashery.
I made myself a suit, but that was about as far as I went with it. I was like, after that, I'm like, nah, the suits aren't my thing.
Holy shit. Well, the reason we got in touch was because Adam from Surfacing said that you hooked them up with masks. I mean, they purchased them from you. It's not a sponsorship deal. How do you know what to charge for a mask? How do you make that decision?
Realistically, I was just going off, you know, the basic price in the hobby. Like, because you can get it, you can gauge what other people are charging, and you also got to take into account the work that you put into them as well. Like, I personally was trying to charge the lower side because I didn't want to be that person going, oh, I make these Slipknot masks, and then go, oh, yeah, but I charge, you know, thousands of dollars for them, sort of thing. Like, I wanted them to be still affordable for your average Slipknot fan as well. It just depends on the mask as well. Like, a lot of work goes into some of them in the sense of things where some aren't as much work.
What is the hardest Slipknot mask to make, and how long does that take?
The hardest one that I would say to make would have been the Chrome Fens that I made. The Chris Fenn mask that he wore in the 0.5 album, he wore a fully chrome white version of his mask. And speaking to a few people that kind of know him and stuff and getting a bit of inside information, I found out that the mask was made of resin and actually chrome plated. And it's a process called electroplating. So essentially they sprayed in a specific type of paint and then charged that paint, which magnetically draws the chrome paint to it. And then from there they can, like, yeah, like make full proper chrome out of it. It's not a paint. It's more of a actual bumper chrome.
Meanwhile, Craig's just like, I've got a motorbike helmet with some nails. Were you stoked when Chris was kicked out? Were you like, yes, I don't have to make this fucking mask anymore?
No, I was gutted, man. He's one of the originals to me. Like,
well, and then Adam went on to say, Slipknot got in touch with you and was like, you can't keep selling these.
It was actually Slipknot's record label, their new record label, Universal Music. I woke up one morning to a report on my Instagram saying that somebody had reported my the newest Corey that I'd made. And I kind of just flicked past it, and I didn't really pay that much attention to who had reported it. And, you know, I kind of just went, yep, okay. And then got on and checked my email, and I had an email from the same person. And it was from somebody from Universal Music. And we've noticed that you're selling these masks on your website, Drop Bear Studios. Mind you, the site wasn't set up to, like, purchase now. It was just a, here are the masks, this is what they cost. Email me if you want one. And, yeah, essentially saying you're not to produce anything with Slipknot's likeness, not including hats, masks, bags, shoes, shirts, blah, 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 blah. Bit of a slap in the face. And
do you think that's Slipknot themselves, or is that management, or both?
I believe it's their record label, because they've just signed to this new record label. They were with Roadrunner, and they ended their contract and have gone to Universal Music. So I think somebody there has just clicked on, or has just spotted that I'm doing it. I did hear along the pipeline that somebody maybe have reported me to them, somebody in the hobby. I've got no proof of it, and you know what I mean? Like, you can't pinpoint fingers at people, but
that's what you get for trying to bring people together, man.
Yeah, that's it, eh?
You brought this on yourself. But I've seen other replica masks for sale as recently as this morning.
Yeah.
Did they not check their emails?
I don't know. I really don't get it.
Didn't something happen, though, where the day you got that email, Corey posted a photo of, or Slipknot posted a photo?
The actual Slipknot official account posted probably 10 photos of fans, and they were wearing masks I made. And the caption in the post was, "Who are you going to be for Halloween?" And I was like, wow, what a slap in the face that is. Like, that's a mask I made.
How can you tell it's your mask?
After spending X amount of time sculpting it and making copies of it, like, you get to know, you can just pick straight away. And it was kind of at the point where there's more mask makers nowadays than there was back when I was, like, when I first started and when I've, you know what I mean? Like, when I gained my popularity, essentially, there seems to be a lot more people that are like, oh, well, I want to go and buy the stuff and I want to have a go at making a mask.
So a Slipknot fan for over 20 years, hardcore into them, so much so that your wife knows you would love a mask.
I've literally got them tattooed all up my arm.
Holy shit, what have you got there?
Like the self-titled album.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I think I saw, I see Clown.
There's Clown, and I got, there's Fen.
Yes, Chris.
Paul, Corey, Craig, Sid at the back there, Jim, and then Mick and Joe.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, quite dedicated Slipknot fan. So, you know, I had a lot of people saying to me, oh, you're very bitter about the cease and desist. And I'm like, can you blame me? I'm a diehard fan, have been for 20 years. And, yeah, to get that, you know, wake up and see that, you know, it is a bit of a slap in the face. And, oh, yeah, I am bitter about it, but I've kind of moved on from it now. Like,
well, how has it changed your relationship with Slipknot, given that their new album, probably by the time this is out, is also out?
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of the new stuff that they're bringing out. Like, I don't mind the heavier side of the stuff, but I don't really go much on the experimental stuff that they're bringing out. Like, it's a bit too far from Slipknot for me personally, but my love for the band will never die. Like, self-titled is still my favorite album of all time.
Liberate Bananas, man.
Hell yeah.
But my main problem with the band is that they're stage show is so tame now, and I understand you're 50 years old. You don't come out and be like, we put on the best fucking show, we're still crazy. It's like, not really. You just got spinning fans behind you now. It seems to be distracting from the fact you guys aren't doing much.
Yeah, you just like Kiss now. Like, it's all good show and flashy show. I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand they are all 50, but
on Reddit, people were discussing this cease and desist thing that you got, and Violent Octopus wrote, it seems that nobody's aware that you have to protect your trademark at all times. If you let people slide, then legally it becomes more difficult to stop other people actually trying to steal from you. This subreddit's age is showing, of course, this guy can't sell replicas and take all of the profit with no permission. This isn't hard. But like we said, Slipknot still do allow other people to do it. Do you think they're starting to get ready to sell their own mass-produced masks with the new label?
I think they already are. They've just signed a little deal with Trick or Treat Studios, which is a company in the US that produce mass-produced masks. And, yeah, as far as I know, they've got two of them with them now. I think it's the Iowa Clown and the Volume 3 Corey. And, yeah, I 100% get the infringement and all that sort of stuff and copyright protection and all that sort of stuff. But in the same context, like, you've got Corey Taylor that's just done a video in a fan's mask. Like, it's a replica of his new mask that a fan made and give to him, and he wore it in a video. And it's kind of like, how can you wear a fan's mask in a video, yet your label's given another fan a cease and desist? And in the same context, as I said to the guys in this, from the record label, like, I don't make millions of dollars doing this. Like, I'm a fan that loves the band more than somebody that's trying to make money out of it. Like, it was more a passion for me than the money aspect of things. As an example, this shed that I'm sitting in now is a 3 meter by 2 meter shed. This is where I make my masks. Like, I don't have a massive warehouse with 50 employees. And, you know, even on Instagram, I get people message going, you know, can you guys do this? And I'm like, it's just me. It's just me. I'm not, like, it's not a big team of people.
So did you try to fight back a little bit and just be like, hey, hear me out. Like, check out my arm here. I'm legit.
I did. I kind of spilled them my case and kind of said, look, you know, check my wardrobe. 90% of my clothes are Slipknot clothes. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen them every time they've been in the country. I've met them. They've even praised me on my work on masks that I've made. I've met them and showed them. I showed Chris Fenn mask that I made of his, and he was like, holy shit, you made that? Wow, dude, that's fucking sick. what more compliment can you get, like, from the man himself?
Well, they did warn you, people equal shit. They tried to give you a heads up.
In the same context, that's the thing that I think annoys me the most about today's Slipknot, is that they've turned exactly into exactly what they spouted to be so against back in the day.
What was that song? Was like, we're all out nine, we're family, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And that was the same time where they kicked Chris out, allegedly, blanket alleged, let's not get litigious, Universal.
Allegedly.
This is all for entertainment purposes. But you mentioned that you know people who know the band. You've met the band.
Yep.
How does, like, did you try and reach out to the band through those people or try and get some insight, or what were your avenues there?
I kind of tried to a little bit, but I didn't want to poke the bear too much because I was, from my understanding, they weren't the ones that called the shots, and they probably don't really know about it. As far as I'm aware, it's the label that sent the cease and desist. It wasn't Corey himself saying, you need to stop making the mask. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe that the band actually even knows about it, or unless they've, you know, caught wind of it during, like, looking through comments or something like that.
It seems like a clown move. It's like, all right, I'll handle the keg, the NFTs, and the cease and desists. You guys write the song.
I did try to contact their management, Corey Brennan, but, yeah, he hasn't replied or anything, so.
You know what, man? Fuck him, because you've got Disgust. Tell me about Disgust.
Well, I'll start off with Lance Bones, the bass player from Disgust. Been friends with him for quite a while. He originally contacted me while I was making the Slipknot masks and asked could I make the mask for their band. And at the time, I was super busy with the Slipknot stuff and I just really didn't have the time to sit and focus on it. And my interest was more in the Slipknot stuff. And then as soon as I got the cease and desist, he messaged me and, like, because he bought a few Slipknot masks off me and stuff through the years. And he messaged me going, hey, what better time than now, eh? Like, are you keen? And I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. So we started with Bones' mask, and, I've gone on to make Jace's mask, the guitarist, Keel's mask. His is kind of a mask that's modified from one I already make. And the singer, Bo, we've got all of their masks sorted. We're still going to do one for Michael, the drummer, though. I'm just kind of waiting to come up with an idea for a concept for his mask.
Well, let's come back to that, because I've got something here about Disgust, and I've been in touch with Bo, and here's something I prepared.
Hey, what's up? My name is Bo, and I am the vocalist of Disgust.
So Disgust are a five-piece metal band from Brisbane and Gold Coast. That's D-I-S-K-U-S-T. And they wear masks on stage. So how did they get in touch with Drop Bear Studios masks?
We actually found Dan through the Slipknot mask that he was making, and we were looking for someone within the country. A lot of the mask makers and stuff that we had found were overseas, and it was hard to get stuff over here at the time due to COVID and stuff. And we finally came across someone that was local-ish, you know, within the country at least. And so we asked him, you know, hey man, you know, we're in a mask band ourselves, would you be interested in, like, doing some stuff for us, you know? And he was like, yeah, sweet. So he came on board, and the rest is history, really.
I imagine that if you're wanting a mask to play live in and you go to Drop Bear Studios, you have to have some sort of design brief. Well, luckily, Bo had a pretty clear idea of what he wanted.
Well, my first ever mask, the clown, the mime mask, I actually made myself from a mask that I bought like 8 years ago, and I cut it up and put it back together and painted it and attached some stuff with super glue and all that kind of stuff. So it was falling apart, and I needed something that was more robust and newer and put together better professionally, I guess. And I wanted something pretty similar to what I already had, but because that was my look, you know.
So you've formed a band, you've got the music, you've been in touch with Drop Bear Studios, you've got your mask, you're ready to go. It must feel so good to perform in them. I wonder what it's like.
Oh, it's fucking awful. It's like wrapping your head 10 times with cling wrap and then sprinting on a treadmill in a hot room for 40 minutes. It's hell. But at least, you know, with Dan's masks, you know, they're comfortable on the face, you know. It's just the rest of it that's that sucks, you know, the sweating and everything else inside the mask. But yeah, no, it's not fun, but you know, we do it.
Dan, that's some high praise.
Man, Bo, he's good with words.
Yeah, he should host his fucking podcast. So is that a real skill set of yours, making masks that are comfortable on the face? Do you factor in the performer?
I do. I actually do. When it comes to making the Disgust Boys masks, I had many questions for Bo in the sense of, you know, how his head and stuff like that. And I essentially tried to make Bo's mask as easy to sing in and as comfortable as I possibly could to make his job that slight bit easier, because I know how hot it would be being up on stage and belting it out with a mask on.
So the drummer is yet to have an official Drop Bear Studios mask, am I correct?
Yes.
So what's the process there? Are you pitching ideas? Do they have to come to you?
It sort of depends. Like, some people already have an idea or a concept of what they want in their head already, and I might just say, just try and draw it up the best you can, or if you know somebody that can draw, that's always a bonus. It's always a bonus if somebody's already got a design that they want done. I'm kind of shit at coming up with my own designs because I tend to look at the thousands and thousands of masks that are on the internet now going, ah, oh, someone's already done that. Someone's already done that. I try to be as original as I can. And in this day and age, designs are very, very hard to do in the sense of coming up with something original that not everyone's already seen and five other people already make. That's what more I'm trying to do nowadays, like now that I'm out of the Slipknot sort of hobby.
And I'm guessing you've seen Disgust live?
Oh, yeah, I've seen them a couple of times live, yeah. They tend to play at Frankie's Pizza in Sydney, and it's a tiny little sort of seedy bar that they play at, and it's usually a free show. So I usually go down and catch up with them beforehand. And
oh, surely you're on the door if it was a paid show.
Oh, hell yeah.
And how much pride do you have when you see your masks in action?
Oh, it's mind-blowing. Like, it really is. Like, even the first time watching Disgust live, watching Bo on stage with the mask on that I sat in my lounge room making, it was kind of just, just in awe. And he makes that mask work so well. It looks so sinister and evil when he wears it too.
I've seen on your YouTube channel that you have your own collection and you have many Slipknot ones.
Those videos are quite old. Like, I've made YouTube videos in quite a long time.
Yeah, I know, but I went through it for research purposes. You've got a lot of Slipknot ones, of course. Do you have any Mushroom Head ones?
I still have two Mushroom Head ones, and one of them was stage used in the US, which is the Jeffrey Nothing, the singer's mask, and it's kind of a leather face kind of style mask. And I've got the guitarist mask from the Australian tour when they played in 2014. He wore that mask for the whole Australian tour and all the side shows with Korn and Rob Zombie. I've actually got that one in my display case right now. I still do have quite a few Mushroom Head masks as well.
Wait, how did you get his mask?
On Facebook, you can actually go onto the Mushroom Head Masks and Memorabilia, it's called, and you can actually go on there and they sell their masks. Essentially, when they finish their tours, they'll post their mask for sale and go, highest bidder takes it. So you're essentially buying the mask they wore on stage from a show you went to if you're that dedicated, but they do get quite expensive.
Man, we grew up at roughly the same time. We were big into Slipknot at the same time. Are you a Slipknot fan and a Mushroom Head fan?
Yeah.
Bro.
I'm going to say, I do like both.
You're like a daywalker going into both camps.
Here I am trying to break up fights and like Slipknot and Mushroom Head.
Well, I'm not here to break up fights. I'm here to start some today because every week we try and play a game on this podcast and I've got a game for you. Would you like to play?
Sure.
Great. So being a Slipknot fan, I'm assuming you've read Corey's books.
I think I've read the first one. I haven't read the second or third, I don't believe.
They're so good. They're called Grumpy Man Yells at Clouds, part 2 and part 3. So for this game, I've got, is this a quote from a Corey Taylor book or is it Mr. Wilson from the 1993 Hollywood hit movie, Dennis the Menace? So I've got six quotes and I want you to tell me if it's Corey Taylor or Mr. Wilson. First one. Here's something else that chaps my chowder. Is that Corey Taylor or Mr. Wilson?
Oh, that's a hard one. Mr. Wilson.
I'm sorry.
It's Corey Taylor.
Oh, my God.
That's Corey talking about driving and how people who don't check their blind spots make him a very grumpy boy. Zero so far. God forbid you just have someone watch your kid for a second.
Yeah, Mr. Wilson again.
I'm sorry.
What?
That's Corey Taylor talking about parents running with their kids on a sports stroller. Because how dare you get some exercise once you've had a kid? This is so telling of where Corey Taylor is at the moment, isn't it? You must roll with the punches. You must expect the unexpected.
Yeah, that'd be Corey.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's Mr. Wilson towards the end of the movie when he grew to love Dennis's dog rat charm.
I'm stuck at this.
You can still get 50%. If you look at the way the world has gone these days, you know it's a matter of time before something breaks and I can lay a lot of that at your feet.
Yeah, Corey.
Yeah, yeah!
Well done. That's Corey talking about how parents don't accept responsibility for their kids misbehaving.
Jeez, he's got opinions on everything.
Like he's got three books worth of opinions. When I was a child, none of this would have been tolerated.
Yeah, Corey again.
I'm sorry. Oh,
man. I thought he was writing a childcare book or something.
That's Mr. Wilson after Dennis shot aspirin in his mouth with a slingshot. So far, it looks like a sick metal riff. You've got 00010. So we're shredding here. Let's see if we can finish strong. I would have made a swell fireman. Is that Corey Taylor or Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah!
He's done it!
2 out of 6 isn't bad. Not great.
That was Mr. Wilson's reply to his wife when she said she would have been a good mother. A very understanding, nurturing response. Beautiful work there, Mr. Wilson. 2 out of 6, but probably better than most people would have done, to be honest. And I recently watched a sort of a fan Q&A with Corey on their Shiprocked tour or whatever. Maybe it was Stone Sour. And he gets into these like old man back in my day sort of rants. And he's like, I think I'm going to write another book about it. I was like, dude, please don't.
Old man shakes fist at cloud.
But you've seen him live. You've also seen Static X. Tell me about that.
Oh, Static X. I've seen them quite a few times.
Oh, Wisconsin Death Trip, one of my absolute favorites.
I'm a huge fan of Static X. Always been a huge fan of Static X. Even loved Wayne's solo stuff.
How were they live?
Oh, unreal, man. Unreal. I've seen them, I think, 4 times in total. Every time they've been here, I've seen them.
And now their singer's wearing a mask. Oh, yeah. Wayne Static. Oh, my gosh. You would be in heaven. That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I believe it's Edsel Dope. Although it hasn't been confirmed.
No, but yeah, you can put 2 and 2 together, can't you?
I actually did make that the Static X mask, but I dropped the mold and it broke, so that was the end of that one.
At what stage of the process is that? Like, how many hours were you into that?
Well, the mask had been completed, like as in the sculpture, and then you make the mold of the mask, and then once that mold's broken, you can't make any more of them. So essentially, once you've got your mold, you can use as many and make as many as you need out of it. But once that mold's gone, that's it. That's the end of story.
So it's a very rare one. What part of the mask making process do you just fucking hate? You're like, I hate this part so much.
Mold making.
You answered very quickly.
Actually, actually making the mold is the hardest part. I find the most frustrating part.
So what's the best one? Just when the last piece of lacquer or whatever goes on?
I don't know. I quietly enjoy pulling the mask out of the mold, essentially. Like pulling that fresh mask out, there's nothing better than it, essentially.
Well, I did see an Instagram story of you basically doing that with a fucking tree or something today.
So I like making a lot of different things as well as masks. I've actually got a page on Instagram. It's called Dropkick Studios Guitars.
Oh.
A little side project I sort of do in my own time. I make guitars and I like doing a lot of woodworking sort of stuff. The video you've seen earlier was it's a wooden burl. They're essentially like a wart on a tree. And once they cut them off, they've got a really distinct pattern inside them. And once you peel the bark off, they've got that real spikily, prickly, as you would have seen in Mistory. And yeah, they're quite a pretty wood once it's polished up and finished. And I thought, yeah, making a few stands out of those would look amazing.
You're a fucking evil genius, man. I'll tell you what. Just on your Instagram, you wrote something and I didn't understand what it meant. You said, molded the leftover acrylic teeth I had should save me having to buy them. What are you talking about?
Okay, so essentially, you can buy acrylic teeth, a set of acrylic teeth, and they're single teeth that you can use in masks or people use them for dentistry and stuff like that. But yeah, essentially, I bought a set of them to try put them in the skull mask I've just finished. And instead of buying another set every time, I decided to make a little mold out of silicon, and then I can pour resin into that mold and essentially make the teeth rather than buy them every time.
So when you're making these skull masks, are they just sort of random ideas you've got and then you're just like, if anyone wants this, they can buy it. If they don't, I'll just keep it in my collection.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, that's essentially how it starts out. I'll start a sculpture that I've got in my head that I want to do, and essentially if it sells or doesn't sell, I can't sort of do much about that. But I tend to not go too apeshit making too many straight off. Like, I'll make a couple first to see whether people are interested in them or, and then I kind of go from there.
Is Halloween like peak time for you?
Man, the mask collecting hobby, just not Slipknot masks, just masks in general, in the US is nuts. They've actually got Mask Fest. Essentially, they go there and there's 1,000 different people with all their masks that they make. People walk around going, I'll buy one of those, I'll buy one of those, I'll buy one of them. It's kind of just like the Easter show, but for masks, or Knot Fest for masks.
Can I get a Birdie the Beetle mask then?
And these dudes will buy masks year round. It's not subject straight to Halloween.
Oh, man, they do pomp and circumstance so well. They do events incredibly well, but just by nature of their population.
Yeah.
Like, you just need like 0.1% of the market and you're able to sort of live off that. And like, that community of 16 people would be thousands in America. So that's incredible.
It's unbelievable. And some of the money people spend on masks as well, like, not me personally, but for instance, Jordy Shell, he's a professional mask sculptor. He's massive in the movie industry. I think he done creature designs for Avatar, and like, he's pretty well known in the US in the industry. He's a mask collector, and there's videos of him spending $5,000 on a mask, and it's just mind blowing. Like, my car's not even worth that much.
Do you think that's an avenue you could go down into the sort of movie making, TV series world?
Mask making is a little bit different to that, in the same thing, like in the same context. It's still sculpting. You're still using the same mediums. You're still using the same armature to sculpt on and stuff, but it's the application is a little bit different. Like, I've never actually tried to do any kind of special effects makeup where you attach it to your skin and, you know what I mean, like have like cuts on your face or, you know what I mean, scars. That I've never really tried that sort of thing. I've always just done masks.
If Hollywood ever rings, don't give them that answer. You say, yes, I'm experienced, and you take that money.
I find with the effects industry, they use a lot of makeup rather than actual paint. Where with the masks I make, I use paint, essentially. I paint everything, where a lot of the effects is all makeup and stuff that I'm not really knowledgeable on using.
Look, but I know you're busy making masks, running the Instagram, which is dropbear_studios_masks. You have 11,000 followers, which is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I'm quite shocked at my followers myself, to be honest. To give an example, at one point there, I was struggling to hit 10,000. Like, literally, I could not for the life of me. I was doing giveaways and everything like that and still couldn't hit 10,000. And then as soon as that new Slipknot album dropped with Corey's new mask, it just exploded. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've lost probably 500-600 followers since getting the cease and desist as well. A lot of people sort of just dropped off and were like, oh, well, you're not doing Slipknot, not interested.
Well, I might have something that will bring them back. I've created not one, not two, but three ads for you.
Awesome.
I just want to make sure, though, are you is your official name Drop Bear Studios Masks or just Drop Bear? Oh, fuck.
Drop Bear Studios Masks.
I wish I had have consulted you before I went and made these ads. I've just called you Drop Bear Studios. And some people might say, you just took old ads from the 90s and replaced the company name with Drop Bear Studios. To those people, I would say, yeah, it's fucking really hard to make an ad. What do you reckon about these?
Days looking new and bright, and you're gonna start it right. Hold your starting to brew, the aroma's calling you. The best part of waking up is
Drop Bear Studios.
In your car.
Mornings are brighter with
Drop Bear Studios.
Because
Drop Bear Studios.
He has more enticing aroma than any other kind.
The best part of waking up is
Drop Bear Studios.
In your
Drop Bear Studios. Drop Bear Studios.
You can keep it to yourself, but it wouldn't be fair, because that chocolate crispy taste is loved everywhere. So give me a break, woo! Give me a break, break me off a piece of that.
Drop Bear Studios.
It doesn't matter what comes, fresh goes better in life
with Drop Bear Studios.
Nothing gets to you, staying fresh, staying cool
with Drop Bear Studios.
Fresh goes better.
Drop Bear Studios.
Fresh goes better
with Drop Bear Studios.
The Fresh Maker.
There you go, man. I'll invoice you. They're all yours.
I'm even that old, I remember that ad.
It was either that or not Happy Jam, but I replaced Jam with Drop Bear Studios. But I should have done Drop Bear Studios Masks.
That's all good, man. I believe I'm the only one with Drop Bear Studios as a business name, so anyone's going to get it.
I did look on Etsy. I think there's someone called Drop Bear, but not Drop Bear Studios. If so, they'll quit when they hear those ads, surely. Anyway, man, some people spend a lot of time in sheds making masks. I prefer to rip audio from old 90s ads on YouTube and replace keywords with Drop Bear Studios. We all have our hobbies. Mine is way more toxic and gatekeepery.
More hilarious, though.
Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
Not a problem at all.
Before we go, tell the people why they should go to dropbear_studios_masks Instagram.
Because I make awesome masks and I'm based in Australia. And you don't have to pay shipping and wait for weeks.
And you're an incredibly nice guy who's super responsive. And I've loved the shit out of this chat. And it's shone a light on the seedy underbelly that is the replica Slipknot mask world that I was totally unaware of. All right, bro. Thank you so much, man.
Too easy, man. Thank you.
How does it happen? You're coaching the crew or printing the news or straining till you thought you would burst. You sure got a thirst. A hard-earned thirst needs a big cold beer. And the best cold beer is
Drop Bear Studio.
You know how it happens. You're treating their sprains, or fixing the trains, or trying to...